Turn on the mic. Are you on? You see, the time is coming when your faith, when the faith that we walk by, is going to become sight. It's going to become sight. And at that last trump, when the dead are raised, as we shall all be changed, and it's all going to happen in the blink, a twinkle of an eye. That's hard to grasp, isn't it? Spiritual and physical sight will come together in that overwhelming apprehension of when every eye shall see Him in awe of His glory. The glory of our Savior. The aspects of Jesus, as the songwriter put it into taking that little baby. The glory. The glory of who He was and who He is. You see, someday we shall behold Him, as the songwriter has said, in awe of His glory. In the now, however, you and I see Jesus with the heart. With the heart, man believes. With the heart, man believes unto salvation. The heart. The heart of the aspect is where you see by. And the reason we can do that is because God sheds the light of the gospel into your heart so that you do believe. And you do acknowledge and receive this babe that was born unto us in a manger. No one knows the Son except the Father. That's what Jesus Himself said. No one knows Me, but My Father knows Me. So you remember when Peter confessed that he believed Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God? And Jesus said to him what? Simon, you are blessed. Because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, born to you as your Savior, it's because God has revealed that in the human heart. You believe in your heart. And you confess with your mouth. What comes out of the mouth is from the heart, isn't it? Yes, it is. So God has shed that light into your heart, my heart, and we acknowledge, we believe that Jesus indeed was the Christ, and when that happens and that begins to happen, we begin to realize and see the glory of the revelation that has come to us in the person of this one we know as Jesus Christ. This beholding Him is unbelievable. How many of you behold Him now in all of His glory more than when you first became a Christian? How many of you who have been able to see Him and become more enlightened about who He is and what He is and what He means to you than that time when you first acknowledged Him, confessed, and were baptized into Christ? There is that element of appearing that comes to all of us, and the aspect of that is overwhelming. It really is. And there is the glory that you know and I know that every eye someday is going to see, right? Right? The Bible says that as lightning flashes out of the east and the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man come in all of His glory. That's pretty fast, isn't it? Glory. Glory is in the way in which you and I shall behold Him, and the aspect of that is when He appears. The inspired writings speak of all that aspect of Jesus' life as the word glory. The Son of Man comes in His glory, and all His angels with Him. Matthew chapter 25, 37. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? If Jesus comes with all His angels, Revelation says the angels number myriads of myriads, thousands upon thousands. Can you imagine what the heavens are going to be like? That they scroll and roll away like a scroll, and everything is filled with this angelic aspect of the presence of His angels. And to have them, the archangel and the trumpet of God, to sound, and all the dead are going to rise. They're all going to hear His voice. They're going to come forth. And the aspect of that is just, you and I know that. We believe that. Heaven is going to not be, is going to be left without a single angel. Because they're coming with Him. His coming is simply called that revelation of His glory. And the aspect is just unbelievable. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter writes these words, chapter 4 of 1 Peter, and he shares this aspect about Jesus and His suffering. And I want to read this because it has these words in it. It says in verse Let's see, where am I going to start? I'm sorry. Start with me, if you will, at verse 12. So don't be surprised at the fiery ordeals that are among you, which comes upon you for your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Resounding joy is the word, okay? Much, and make sure that none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or some troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but to glorify God in this name. For it's time for the judgment to begin with the household of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those who have suffered according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. All those aspects is the glory of God, sharing that glory. And when you and I go through trials and tribulations and difficulties down here, we're sharing in the sufferings of Jesus Christ, aren't we? You know what it says? And we should glory in that. Paul said that he took glory in Philippians that he could share in the sufferings of Christ. In the sufferings of Christ. So note the aspects is that the glory is there. And we shall be joyous, we shall be glad as we praise Him and as we sing. You know you're going to sing a song of redemption like you've never sung before when you're standing around that great white throne someday. Yeah? You know that? I mean, we sing, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Do you know what it's going to mean and what it's going to, the power of that when you're standing there and you know what it means to have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you're standing in white robes, dressed around the throne of God in those white robes. John said, who are they? Where did they come from? He said, they are they who came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. You're going to stand around the throne of God and behold Him in all of His glory because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why He came. He didn't come just to destroy Satan. He came to become the Savior of the world, didn't He? He said, I came to seek and to save the lost. And I think we all were there at one time or other. Amen. So why is He coming? Well, I believe He's coming to reveal His glory and the glory of the Father. In 1 Thessalonians, kind of a scary aspect in some regards as you read it, but it still says what it says. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul sort of puts us together in this perspective beginning at verse 6. Chapter 1, verse 6, 1 Thessalonians. Paul writes and says, you also become imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation and with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. I think I'm supposed to be reading 2 Thessalonians. I'll go 2 Thessalonians chapter 6. I didn't think it sounded right at first. Hey, it's the end of the year, so this, I still got next year not to make any mistakes. chapter 1, verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians. Said, after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give to relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out restitution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel. Who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. When He comes to be glorified in His saints on that day, do be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. To this end we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling, fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of the Lord Jesus will be glorified in you, and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let Jesus be glorified. Let Him be glorified in our lives today. That's aspects of what's going to happen when you think of that. The aspect is that when he comes in flaming fire with these angels to take vengeance on them that don't know God, who have not obeyed him, etc. That's what is going to happen, right? The whole aspect of that display is unbelievable. I'm just going to overview it with you very quickly. The Bible says that you'll hear the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God is going to sound. And all the dead are going to hear his voice and come forth. The skies will vanish like a scroll. They will roll away. Every mountain and every island and every aspect of this earth and heaven itself is going to vanish. It's going to melt with fervent heat. And every works that are therein is going to pass away. It's going to go. It's not going to be in existence anymore. Coming with these mighty angels, as we read here in flaming fire, all the nations will gather before him. And every knee will bow and will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God to the glory of the Father. Kings of earth and slaves alike will call for the mountains and the rocks to fall on them. The lawless one will be revealed at that time and at that coming, as he says in 2 Thessalonians. And Satan and his false prophets are all going to be cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Every eye is going to see him, even those who pierced him. That means they're all going to be risen from the dead. And they're going to be alive and able to see when he comes in all of his glory. As I mentioned, the first heaven, the first earth are going to pass away. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, or 2 Peter, and also Revelation. All tribes and nations will wail on account of the coming of the Son of God, because they have not got themselves in a right relationship with God. Revelation 1:7 tells us in the aspects of his coming, he's coming for your salvation. That's why he's coming back. He already took care of sin in his first coming. You know that? Huh? God laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was beaten for your transgression. He paid the price. As Brother Dave said this morning, your price of your salvation has been paid in full by the blood of Jesus. You, by faith, acknowledge that and accept the price that God paid for you on your behalf. That is grace. Grace is unmerited. You can't earn salvation. It's a gift. It's a gift. Therefore, when God comes back to Jesus Christ in the glory of heaven, he's coming back for you and me and to grant to us our salvation that comes only through him. That's why he is coming. Hebrews 9:28 states, Christ will appear the second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Are you eagerly waiting for him? The Bible says, keep your eyes on the heavens from what's cometh your hope. Keep your eyes on him. If you've been raised up with Christ and that you've been seated with him, then keep your mind set on things that are above. We should be anticipating and thinking as a year's end. Yeah, this is, but there is an end coming. There's a time where there'll not be any more 2019, 2020. There will not be any time. Time will be wiped away. It'll be gone. And eternity comes into existence. And what a glorious day that will be. Even so, Lord, amen. Maranatha, come. At the voice of that archangel and the trumpet of God, the Bible says this, doesn't it? The dead in Christ will what? The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive, shall be caught up in the air with them, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen? Wow. How fast is that going to happen? In the twinkle of an eye. Can you imagine that? Your body, which was sown and decayed, is going to be raised incorruptible. It was perishable, it's raised imperishable. It was raised physical, it's going to be raised spiritual. That's all going to happen. Boom! At the twinkle of an eye, at the coming of his glory, revealing himself as he is. In that moment, in that aspect, I better be ready for it. The Bible says that the second coming, the coming of the Son of God, shouldn't come on me like a surprise. He already warned us he's coming like a thief in the night. Therefore, what did he say? Be aware. Be on the watch. Watch for it. Look for it. Anticipate it. If you call Ray Merritt and you listen to his phone and he doesn't answer, he'll leave you a message. Keep your eyes on the eastern sky from which cometh our Lord. That's how he answers it. The aspects of it, you know. But when he does come, you know what he's going to do? He's going to wipe away every tear from your eye. Bible says there'll be no tears in heaven. No, it's not what it says. He said he will wipe away all the tears from your eyes. Death will be no more. Can you imagine not having to pray for Ray Merritt anymore for God to help overcome this cancer? There'll be no cancer. There'll be no pain. No more migraines. No more aspects of what you and I deal with down here in the sin-ridden world. Because all that's a result of sin, you know. And when Jesus comes and heaven comes, the Bible says there'll be no sin there. It's going to be righteous, only the righteous. It's going to be like, wow, that God intended this world to be. You know that? Can you imagine what the world would be? I've said it before, I'll say it again. What would this life be if there was no sin in the world? Just the love of God and our love for one another. Be a beautiful world, wouldn't it? It is a beautiful world. It's people who mess it up. Right? I'm sorry. Some of us, I'm guilty. But he's going to come and there'll be no more crying, there'll be more mourning, there'll be no more graves, there'll be no more funerals, there'll be no more of what you and I experienced down here. To the glory of God, amen. Because of what he's done. The glorious Lord, our Savior, has made all that possible. And we celebrate him. We always come together on the Lord's Day to celebrate what this table represents. The price he paid for you and I, that someday we will see him. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, when you see him, you're going to become like him. You're going to be transformed, changed. You're going to receive a glorified body just like his is. Isn't that worth waiting for? Isn't that worth living for? Isn't that worth going through whatever you got to go through down here to anticipate what's yet to come? That's what you're living for. That's where your heart is. That's where your mind is set. That's what this is all about, that someday we will see him in all of his glory and be received into that element of glory as his faithful one. In all aspects of that glory. You see, whenever you see the aspect, he's going to give you that glory. He's going to give that glory to you and me. We will be glorified by him. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word here is parousia, the literal, actual seeing of someone. The coming of Jesus. What will that grace look like? What's it going to be like? Turn to Luke. I bet you a lot of people have never read this passage of Scripture to grasp what it says, but let's see what it says for us this morning. In verse 35 and following in Luke, if you will, chapter 12. I want you to read it. Chapter 12, beginning at verse 35. I want you to watch and read, because, you know, you remember about 30% of what you hear, but you'll remember about 60 to 70% of what you see. So look at it. Fix your eyes on it. And you can listen now while I read it for you. But follow along with your eyes. All right? Be dressed in readiness. Keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and he knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve, have them recline at the table, and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. And be sure of this, that if the head of the house had been known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too, be ready, for For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect. Everybody read that? You see that? You see something that he's never going to surrender? He's never going to give up being who he is. Remember at the Lord's Supper when he gave it and instituted it? He said, I am amongst you as one who serves. What does it say here? What's Jesus going to do in heaven? It says in verse 37, he's going to be those who he finds alert, and when he comes, I'll say to you that he will gird, that's Jesus, he's going to gird himself to serve you. You're going to recline at a table and he's going to wait on you. He's going to serve you because he is who he is. He's a servant. He gave himself for you and me. He will glorify himself through that servanthood and he will continue to do so even into eternity. God is not going to, Jesus is not going to surrender his glory. His glory is received on the basis of who he is and what he has done and what he will do. He's going to serve us, people. Good grief. Look at it. He served you by giving his life for you. He died for you. He's serving you now, being at work in you, transforming you through the power of his Spirit. He's administering to you daily through the power and the comfort of the Holy Spirit that is in you. Jesus said, I won't leave you as orphans. I will send you a comforter. And when he does come in all of his glory, he's inviting you to a table. The table of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You're going to recline at that table with all those who have died and gone before. And Jesus is going to serve us. Wow. Because he deserves to receive the glory in that. Let all glory be given to him. He doesn't ask that much. There isn't a command in the Bible that is burdensome. Every command in the Bible that God gives to us is for your good and mine, to make our lives better, to make us better people, to create within us a better concept, a better attitude, a better reason for living, to get us up in the morning, to have a purpose, which most people don't have today. And our purpose is to live our lives and to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. God bless you as you look to a new year. But I have no idea how long it is going to be. I have no idea when, how long before the Lord comes, but he is coming. And I can say, and I got to be careful when I say this because I don't want you to take it wrong, but aspects is, I must wonder sometimes, says that you and I are looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for to redeem us from every lawless deed, to purify for himself a people, for his own zealous for good deeds. These things we're to speak, exhort, and reprove. But notice, we're looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that what you're looking for? Is that what you're living for? That's what you're anticipating? To, you know, get up every morning, because you might say, you might know, and just simply say, Lord, is it today? You got to keep your mind in tune with the fact that he is coming. And he's not to come up on us like a thief, unexpectedly. You've been warned. I've been warned. I should be looking for it, wanting it, anticipating it, living for it, and being willing to die for it if necessary, right? Right? So God bless you. Have a happy, blessed new year. If you will, you want to, you're more than welcome to come back over to the building. We're going to spend about 3-4 hours of just sharing together the soup sandwiches that have been prepared, but a few other goodies and aspects that go along with that. We're going to play some games together, just laugh and have fun. If you didn't bring anything, that's too bad, because we got crock pots full of soup and we got sandwiches galore. And you're all invited to come over and just spend some time together and fellowship with us, okay?